But we,
and we're getting ready to do our guest speaker.
Yeah, let's.
Before we do that, I just want to let you know that every week we have someone on like this. This young lady is getting ready to get on.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were at the Altus retreat, we had talked about, you know, you can read the personal development books and you can do all that, but until you clarify, simplify, and unclutter your life, and really decide, you know, what you're going to do, and how you're going to do it, and unclutter your life so you can do it, you know, you're going to have a hard time with this business. But this couple, or this young lady, was at the Altus retreat.
Right.
And she is a perfect example of somebody who's clarified, simplified, and uncluttered their life and started going after this thing.
Yes.
And she's accomplished amazing things since that Altus retreat. I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but just remember, each week we try to make sure that you can clarify, simplify, and unclutter your life so you can become more productive, more profitable, and have a very predictable income for the rest of your life. So just do that. You know, just simplify,
yep,
clarify, and unclutter your life.
And I want to tell you a little bit about April Gillespie. I actually spoke with Rob a few minutes before the call, because April and Rob are a girlfriend, boyfriend, couple, a couple, whatever you want, business partners, the whole works, and they're out.
You sure they want people to know that?
Outstanding working together. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
And April is actually part of Chris Hughes' organization, and we were blessed to have her attend the Altus retreat along with Rob, and it was she contributed a great amount to it, and I know that she has a corporate background. I call it corporate America, and I know she's lived in Chicago before. I know she started Legal Shield there, and then relocated back to Cincinnati, where she's from. And she has been on a quest to build a strong team in this business. I know that she went full time with Legal Shield about a year ago as a director, and she is also, on top of everything else, a motivational speaker. She has an audiobook out, and she is a Toastmaster champion for Southwest Ohio.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, and takes care of herself. She and Rob run two miles or so every morning and take care of themselves. So,
wow,
you know,
I didn't know that. I guess he runs after her.
Probably.
I want to find out how we get a hold of her book. I'd like to everybody.
Okay,
to,
maybe she can share that with us.
Maybe she can share that with
us. So,
yeah,
so we are just thrilled to have her on the call. When we heard that she had hit the level of executive director for the first time last month, we were cheering and excited for her and just proud of her.
Like we were one of her, like a parent.
Yeah, exactly. And so we want her to be on the call tonight to share her story with you and any tips on what's helped her really make that quest happen to get to executive director and beyond. And we know that she's just begun, that she is just begun. I mean, executive director is just one step to ahead, you know, to ahead to the levels.
That's the first step, really.
Yeah, to bronze and silver and gold and platinum and all the way up. So, Miss April Gillespie, are you on the call tonight?
I am. Can you hear me okay, Ms. McCoyne?
You are loud and clear, and we're honored to have you on.
Thank you so much, and all of those accolades, I just really appreciate it. And, you know, I was so honored to be a part of the Altus retreat and just very thankful that the universe has conspired in the favor of Rob and I to be able to attend that event in our 20s. And now as an executive director, it's been an incredible journey. So I first just want to say to everybody on the line, you have incredible leadership, which I'm sure you already know. But one thing that we can never do is take them for granted. And, you know, we're as leaders in this business, and we're really all leaders on the moment that we decide to be, to step up and take that mantle of leadership within our business. But I think it's important to always pour back into your leaders because they're always pouring into us. So I first just wanted to say that and thank you for all you've done for me and my business. So, you know, really tonight, I really hope to just inspire a few people on the line. You know, my journey started 4 years ago. I was downsized twice in corporate America. I worked for the largest media company in the world as a vice president of sales and marketing. I was working for Fox Media in their sports division. I was doing very well. Came out of college making about $35,000 a year. Within 5 years, I was making a six-figure income. But the media industry changed a lot in the economic recession, and I know that it'll never be the same. But when you are good at what you're doing in your corporate life, and that's all you've ever done, it's very difficult to, you know, start to evaluate other options. And so, thankfully, a girlfriend of mine, she was an architect. She was laid off in the recession. This is back in 2009. And we were at a mutual girlfriend's little surprise birthday party. She handed me a business card, and she said, hey, you know, I started a new venture. I'm really excited, and I'm just going to have some people over my house on a Thursday night. She had a small 400-square-foot studio apartment. Literally, we were, like, sitting on chests and dressers to watch this DVD. We didn't care because we were there as friends to watch the information, and it was truly a blessing to me that she invited me. And what I later found out was that she wasn't going to invite me because she knew that I was already making really good income. But what she didn't know is that I had already received a 20% pay cut at work. And about 4 months later, I got another 20% pay cut. So I wasn't even making six figures anymore. And I was starting to get concerned, clearly, about what was going to happen with the future of my company. And I was just thankful that she invited me out. So I saw the information, and out of four of us at her first PBR, I was the only one who got started. She got me on a three-way call with Mr. Hughes about a day or so later, and I got started in the business. So the membership just made sense to me. I knew my mother had been through a pretty bad divorce, cost her a lot of money on a teacher's salary, and thought of different situations that my family members have been in. I knew I didn't have a will. I knew I had a sister with five kids who didn't have a will. So the membership was just kind of a no-brainer. But I really saw the opportunity, and I remember thinking to myself, oh, my gosh, this is my way out. This is my way out of the corporate grind. I was traveling every week. I had a 14-state territory. I had 12 employees in multiple states. And it was a hellacious grind that I was in. But I didn't know how to get out of it. So truly, Adina, who is my sponsor, she is my angel, truly. And I thank her and her family for sharing this opportunity with me. So I got started. And since I was exposed through a private business reception, that's what I started with a private business reception. And the funny thing about the system is that we always say that the system is designed so that the business can move away from you. 6 weeks, not even 6 weeks, 3 weeks after Adina recruited me, she went out of the country. She was from Romania. So she left the country for 6 weeks. But she did one very important thing before she left the country, was she introduced me to my support team, which was the Hughes brothers. She introduced me to her parents, who were her direct upline. And she got me to do two private business receptions. And the most important thing she did was she got me registered for a convention. And so that locked me in. I was already committed before she left to go to Romania. So I just started doing PBRs when I first got started in the business, and that's really how I built in Chicago before I moved back to Cincinnati. So, you know, really when I got started in the business, you know, utilizing the PBRs as kind of the engine, I built a nice team, you know, got up to the director level. And the company that I was working for, I had left Fox, went to go work for another firm. I was a VP of sales and marketing there as well. They eventually shut down. And then I left that company, went to another company. They were bought and sold, and they changed everything, and it was a mess. So pretty much everybody ended up leaving that company, and that office ended up shutting down as well in Chicago. So I took it as a sign from God and said, you know, maybe I'm just not supposed to be in Chicago anymore. So I moved back to Cincinnati as a director, and really just kind of had to press the restart button on my life and my business and start building again from scratch. So that's what I did. So at that point, I was about 2 years in the business when I moved back to Cincinnati. And I said, okay, Mr. Hughes, what do I do to kind of get things going again? He said, you know what? You need to get on the calendar, go to your briefing. So I went to my briefing, got plugged in to the system here, ended up picking up an HR consulting gig just to kind of keep things flowing in the meantime, so still working my business very part-time. And I made a decision. Honestly, this is what happened. The decision came right before, I would say, the Oklahoma convention of this year. And I remember picking up the phone, calling Mr. Hughes, and I said, you know what, this is my year. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go for it. And he said, April, you know, whenever you make that decision, that's when it's time, whenever that decision comes. And I said, I'm ready. I'm going to really go for it this year. So I really began to do four things. So if you guys are taking notes, these were really my four keys, I would say, to success on this ED run. And the first thing, which is, I remember always hearing the top income earners and companies saying, just never miss anything. Never miss anything. Never miss a seed call, never miss a briefing, never miss a Super Saturday, never miss a training, just never miss anything. So that's what I really always focused on. Despite the ups and downs going on in my life, my personal life, my professional life, with corporate, team numbers up, team numbers down, I said, you know what, I'm just never going to miss. I'm just going to show up. I got to show up to blow up. So I'm just going to show up and commit. That's the first thing, never miss anything. Second thing was I just began to increase my activity. We always say never let your minimum be your maximum. So I did more than two exposures. I did as much as I could do on a day-to-day basis. So I just increased my activity and began to just do more, just do more. Third, and I think this was really what made a huge difference in the journey over the past year, was focusing on building leaders. One thing that Mr. Hughes has always told me from the very beginning, day one, he said there's only two things we do in this business, April, and that is we build leaders and we build culture. So focus very heavily on helping the people in my organization develop that leadership mindset, not only through focusing on personal development, but helping them to understand that they are the CEO of their business. This is not my business. This is not Chris Hughes' business. This is not Britt Mason's business. This is your business. You are a true CEO. So just really kind of pounding that, you know, and beating that drum consistently. Hey, you're the CEO. You're the CEO. And along with that came duplication. So making sure that everything that we were doing was duplicatable. If it wasn't duplicatable, then we just shouldn't be doing it, because we need this business to move away from us at some point and grow in spite of us. And it has to work in depth. It has to work in distance. It has to work 5 minutes later. All those things have to take place in order for the business to begin to grow in spite of you, not because of you. And then the last thing we did is just really focus on becoming better. It's oftentimes the 1% of things that we're not doing that we should be doing that can make all the difference. So, you know, could we do just a little bit more that day? Could we become a little bit better that day, whatever in whatever area? Maybe I need to become 1% better at prospecting, or maybe I need to become 1% better as a speaker at the briefing, become 1% better in promoting. Definitely a key skill that I had to get a lot better at in the past year is the art of promotion. We always say promotion pays big money, and it does if you begin to master it and really learn how to do it effectively. So those are really the four things. Never miss anything. Number two, increase activity. Number three, focus on building leaders and duplication. Number four was becoming better through personal development and just in serving more people, just going through the numbers faster, making sure that we're not trying to convince anyone, but serving the people who want to be served. So that was really kind of the four keys to success. So what that created was a consistent Power 20. So that's what transpired over the past 6 months. So it all kind of came to a head, actually, at the Altus Retreat. It was very a unique opportunity to be there. I'm so honored to participate in that. And as I told Mrs. McCoy earlier in the week, is there was something that Elizabeth Gardner said at that event, and we were all talking about Power 20. I remember saying to her, I said, I need to learn how to Power 20 earlier in the month. And I guess in my mind, I was thinking if I Power 20 earlier, then that means that I have a better chance of being an executive director towards the end of the month. And she looked me in the eye and she said, why are you even talking about Power 20? You know, how long have you Power 20 qualified? I said, well, I think at that point it was my 6 months. And she said, okay, you've got that mastered. You don't need to think about it anymore. You don't need to focus on it anymore. You need to be focusing on executive director. Do you believe you can do it? I said, yeah, I do. And she said, then go do it. And I said, you know what? All right, I'm going to do it. So we left that event, and I said, all right, I'm not going to think about Power 20 anymore. I'm going to think about executive director. I'm going to dream about it, sleep about it, think about it 24/7, just as Napoleon Hill says, it has to become your magnificent obsession. And that's what I did. And I had a number in my mind's eye that I just kept in the forefront of my consciousness consistently, and that number was 51. And I said, I'm going to give myself one little extra a counter there just to make sure, you know. So I just kept 51, 51, 51, 51 in my mind's eye all day long, right before I went to sleep. I mean, I literally thought about it as much as I could. So that's what I did, is focused on 51. So I said, all right, let me go through my organization, take inventory, see who really wants to perform and still qualify. So that's what I did. Called everybody. Hey, you know, I know you're 2 points away. You're 3 points away. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? And at the end of the month, we had 9 performance of qualifiers, which is the most we've ever had in a very long time. And we just focused heavily on private business reception. PBRs drive the briefing. We focused heavily on PBRs, you know, driving those guests into the briefing, into luncheons or breakfast, whatever we were doing. And, you know, sit-downs kind of as a last resort, but definitely did sit-downs as well, showing the DVD, showing the website, et cetera. Something else that I learned from Mr. Hurst, which we kind of do this together, is the call parties. That made a huge difference, bringing new associates together, even existing associates, bringing folks together and giving them an opportunity to see how we make phone calls, how to be a three-way call expert, and really just begin to understand that part of the system. So those activities combined is kind of what created the next step, which was the convention. So I remember Steve Melione on his 162 tour. I remember asking him, I said, Steve, what do I got to do to get to executive director? He said, April, think in 10, always think in 10, get 10 people to a convention. And then think about 10 more, but focus on 10, got to be 10. I said, okay, it's got to be 10. So came back after having that conversation with him, came out of Oklahoma, and I said, all right, we got to really start promoting hard for believers and achievers. So we got 7. We didn't get 10, but we got 7. And 6 out of the 7 had only been in the business for, I think at that point, maybe 7 or 8 months. One lady hadn't even been in the business a month yet. But those 7 came back from believers and achievers on fire, absolutely on fire. So, they caught the vision, just like I did when my sponsor got me registered for the first convention. I was locked in after that. I said, you know, this is what I want to do with my life. So they came back on fire. And 2 weeks later, we had Mr. Chris Hughes in Cincinnati for a Super Saturday. Did a lot of culture building, awesome Super Saturday luncheon. And then, boom, on October 29th, we ended with Dave Cibula. And I remember, and I kept very close track of my numbers throughout the month. And I looked back, this was just amazing. I looked back on October 25th, I was only at 21 sales on October 25th. But on the morning of November 1st, we were at 51 sales. So I really hope that shows everyone, don't give up. I mean, even when things were looking a little bleak in the last 5 days of the month, there was just this confidence that I had that this was just meant to happen because I made that decision at the Altus retreat that this was going to be the month I was going to get it done. And it's just magic happened in those last 5 days. And I truly believe that's because everyone believed that they deserved to be Performance Cup qualified. Everyone believed that it was their time to start building into Power 20. And now this month we've got 3 people in 3 different organizational lines that are all going for Power 20, and 2 of them are already at 12 sales this month. So I truly believe we're going to get that done. So immediately just rolling into the next phase, which is, okay, who can I help build into a Power 20? Because I'm working on building 3 ED legs minimum, you know, and just recruited a new attorney. She's on fire, had her PCC tonight. And, yeah, she actually is an attorney, but she loves our business and is excited about it. And she's got two people ready to sign up this week. So hopefully that'll be my fourth leg to go platinum. So think bigger, dream bigger. That's what I would tell everyone. And definitely don't let your minimums be your maximums. And no matter what your month looks like right now, keep the goal in the forefront of your mind, no matter what the circumstances are. The last day of the month, I had appointments canceling, no-show, crazy stuff. I mean, people who I knew were going to enroll. And it just wasn't happening. But I just said, that's okay. I'll get it somewhere else. And that's exactly what happened. It was truly a miracle. So, you know, those are the principles that I try and instill within my organization is, hey, look, it doesn't matter what it looks like today. Stay focused on what the end goal is. Always keep the end in mind, no matter what. And I can guarantee you that over time, by sticking and staying, this has been a 4-year journey for me. I'm not an overnight success by any means, but I truly believe that this past month was just the beginning of my Legal Shield career, and I'm excited to see the leaders that are rising up within the organization to really take the business to a whole nother level, and I can't think of a better time for it to happen than now. So with that, Ms. LeCoin, my time is done. But if anyone has any questions or if you have any questions, feel free to passed away, but I sincerely appreciate the invitation to Altus. It was monumental for me, and I'm excited to just keep it going from here.
Well, Frank just looked at me a few minutes ago, and he said, she is good. And I have to agree. That was fantastic. You got so much in a little bit of time here for the team, and I certainly hope everybody was taking as many notes as I was.
And I want to say that she clarified it, what she's going to do.
She did.
She simplified it by these four things, you know, go to everything, do all you can do, build leaders and culture, right, and become better every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so she clarified it, simplified it, and then cluttered it.
Mm-hmm.
And until you do that, it's going to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
Now, April, Teresa has a question for you, and it's just off the cuff, and she wants you to do this just spontaneously, your gut feeling about something. So go ahead and answer your question.
You said that in your story, the importance of being at the convention and the seven people you got to, the believers and achievers, and how they came back on fire. And so I have to assume that you really believe that it's hugely important for all of us to get to the big events. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was the glue that really brought the team together, honestly.
Well, I happen to know, and you may know this too, if you don't, it's important for everybody to know this, that the next convention, which is the only one we have in 2014, at the Rio in Las Vegas, has very limited spaces.
And it's going to be sold out.
It's the smallest space. And the reason is, just so everybody understands, they made the decision to move it from Oklahoma. And you may or may not know this, but Las Vegas stays booked up years in advance. And this is virtually the only spot they could get for us, because they really wanted to do it in Vegas because it's so cheap to fly in and out of and all of that. So we are at a facility in the Rio that has very limited space. I think it's, 5,000 maybe?
Not many.
And so they're going to sell out. So, April, let's convince everybody they need to register, in the next few weeks.
I cannot express the importance of getting registered. And we actually spent some time with Mr. Mason down in Louisville on the first leg of the Finish Strong Tour. And he pretty much told Mr. Hurst and I, it's going to sell out, and it's going to sell out quick. So if you're not registered, I would recommend you get you and your team registered as fast as humanly possible. So I think it's important just for everyone to understand that at the convention is where big decisions are made about your future. You know, it's that doesn't – you make decisions about the business at the briefing. That's where we say decisions are made about, I want to get involved in this business. But – the decision to be made about your future is made at a convention. My first convention was actually Las Vegas. It was the last Las Vegas convention before we shifted to Dallas. And I just remember sitting there in the convention hall in tears. I mean, I cried so many tears that weekend because I just thought to myself, I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen people like me, different from me, all colors, backgrounds. All having success. I never saw that in corporate. It was just such a select group of people who were ever recognized for anything. It was like they were like the anointed ones or something. It wasn't like that at all at my first convention. And that's what took me from, I was a senior associate when I went into my first convention, and I came out, and in 45 days, we recruited over 70 people. That's what happened in 45 days, and that's what took me to director. So,
wow.
Big decisions are made about your future at a convention, and that's really what locks you, not only locks you in, but helps to lock your team in so that you guys can kind of galvanize as a unit to come out and really achieve the goals that you're looking to achieve, not in the short term, but in the long term. And that's really what can happen if you go to a convention. It's critical. Got to get registered.
Hey, Rod, I think what you said, something very important. And one of the things that galvanizes people and locks them together is them doing things together. It's just like in the military. You know, people who go to war together, people who go to boot camp together, it's people who are in special forces, they get together and they stay together for a lifetime, and they work on things together. People who go to summer camp or attend church together all their life, they galvanize and become friends. And when you build that culture, and it's just like he was saying, you build culture, and then you find people within the culture to build leadership. But if you don't go together and you don't maybe get a room together and talk and go to the things afterwards, you never build that culture. You never build the glue that hangs everybody together. So
exactly.
I really brought up some good points there, April.
Yeah, you sure did. This is a team sport. It's not a single individual sport, that's for sure.
Yeah, you're not graded on alone here. Let me tell you that. You're graded by your whole team here.
That's right, and your influence. And something else, too, on that note, when you register, I believe they're still allowing us to buy a few extra tickets.
Yeah.
Because you know that, you know, come another month or so from now when they're sold out, you're part of your team that, especially your new associates, are going to want to go, and you're going to want them to be there. You're just going to be going nuts because there's not enough space for your new associates
to get
there.
So buy all the tickets you can.
So, you know, maybe you already bought your ticket, but call them back, if you will, and consider buying a few extra tickets. I really want our team to have all of our new associates able to go. You know, I'd buy a whole bunch if they let me, but I think it's just two or three that they let you buy in addition to your...
Sit down with your team and one at a time and say, are you going? They go, yeah. They say, well, let's get on the phone and get your ticket right now.
Yeah.
I mean, do it with them.
And we'll start putting a leaderboard up on our Performance Family site so we can see, everybody can see who's already registered, so you can tell who on your team is already registered. But before we do that, we're going to give everybody a chance this week and next week to...
Well, I think we ought to have a contest with Ohio and South Carolina and see how many people we can get registered versus the Crutchers and all those people. April, I'm going to beat you.
I don't know about that. I'm coming for you.
All right, let's do it.
We certainly, April, you did a fantastic job tonight. Thank you so much for pouring your heart out to our team. We value your friendship, and certainly you have mentored our organization in a great way. I know they learned a lot tonight.
Yeah. And also want to thank Joanne. I mean, she did a great job
tonight.
She did
a great job tonight.
We don't just invite anybody to speak on these national calls.
Right.
If you've got a story and you want to share it with the whole team, please let us know that, or a success story, please let us know.
And thank you, Mr. Hurst, for your great story.
Yeah, Rob, you did a good job. And Rob, you're going to have to run pretty fast to keep up with this young lady.
They're a great team, I'll tell you that.
Yep.
Great workout partners. All right, y'all, this has been
a great call tonight.
We are going to invite everybody to have a great rest of the week. We've got one more call before Thanksgiving, and the end of the month is the end of next week, so we've got a lot to do between now and then.
That's right.
And so, everybody, let's go for those Performance Club points and go for those Power 20 points, counters, and executive director achievements. And want to congratulate Eddie and Dee Dee Smith. They've already eclipsed the number they needed for executive director this month, already passed it. And we're proud of them, and we are excited about the future here.
That's right. Just think about, what are you going to do with this one precious life that you have? Are you going to make an impact to the world? Are you going to make a dent in the world, not only for you, but for everybody else? And that's what it's all about. You've only got one little precious life, and it's quick, y'all. So let's do what we can do to make the biggest impact we can make to each other.
That's a great, great
ending.
Yeah, that's a great.
All right,
great
that's
talk.
A wrap, y'all. Thank you. This is Frank and Teresa in sunny Charleston, South Carolina, saying good night.
Good night, and have a great week.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.